Pick up this morning where we left off last Sunday, talking about how you face your giants and living a life that is principle-centered. And if you picked up last week's broadcast, or you were here, you found out we started off, the first principle was we are to be faithful and responsible where we are. Faithful and responsible where we're at. You know, that means that doesn't give you any room to slough off. It doesn't give you any room to take it easy. If you're really going to be faithful and responsible, you're going to have to give it your best. And so we're to be faithful and responsible. Even though what we're doing, we may not feel like it's very important, we're still to be faithful and give it the best we've got. And we also saw, which goes right along with the first principle, the second one is, we're to be happy in the place where we're serving. You know, if you're happy where you're at, it's going to be easy to be faithful and responsible. But happiness, you know, happiness is a choice. You decide whether you're going to be happy or not. You know, most of the time we let our circumstances dictate our happiness. But that's just us choosing whether we're going to be happy or not. And granted, it's easy to let our circumstances dictate that, but the truth is we should be determined that regardless of our circumstances, we're going to be happy. Happy doing and serving right where we're at. And of course, if we're consumed with the glory of God, which is the third principle, then it ought to be easier to be happy and faithful and responsible. But we're to be consumed with the glory of God. In other words, everything we do for the glory of God. Whether it's something really important or whether it's something that's mundane, we're still doing it for the glory of God. The fourth principle we looked at last week is we're to be disciplined and trim off excess baggage. You know, the truth is in all of our lives there's stuff that we accumulate. Stuff we need to let go of. Stuff that weighs us down. Stuff that holds us back. And we need to let go of it. Some of it is emotion. Some of it is attitudes. Some of it is just relationships that maybe hadn't gone the way we thought they were. But whatever it is that holds us down and weighs heavy on us, we need to learn to let it go. To trim it off. To discipline ourselves. Which brings us now to the fifth principle where we're going to pick up today. The fifth principle is to be committed despite criticism. You know, David was criticized. In this story, in 1 Samuel chapter 17, as he was facing his giant Goliath. Verse 28 says, "But when David's oldest brother Eliab heard David talking to the men, he was angry. What are you doing around here anyway?" Well, what was David doing around there anyway? He was bringing food to his brothers. He was there bringing them food. That's what he was doing there anyway. And also taking news back of how the war was going to his father Jesse. So he goes, "What are you doing around here anyway? What about those few sheep you're supposed to be taking care of?" Now, you know, I kind of got the feeling that Jesse had more than a few sheep. It's just Eliab criticizing David that really, you know, he had no business there. He shouldn't be there. He should be back home taking care of those sheep. He goes on to say, "I know about your pride and deceit. You just want to see the battle." Well, yeah, what was he supposed to do? As the errand boy David, what was he supposed to be doing? Taking food to his brothers and taking news of the battle back to his father. Well, now, if he didn't know about the battle, how's he going to take news back to his father? See, David had a purpose there, but yet he was being criticized for what he was doing. You know, everyone loves a critic, right? Not hardly. Nobody likes to be criticized. I don't know anybody that likes to be criticized. In fact, when we get criticized, the first thing most of us do is we bow up. We put our stingers out. Because we don't want to hear what's being said. We don't like to be criticized. You know, sometimes overcoming criticism is a giant in itself. But the thing is, we're all going to face criticism. Not everybody's going to be pleased with what we're doing. Not everybody's going to be pleased with who we are. And they're going to criticize. But you know the thing about criticism? Criticism is someone's opinion. That's really what it amounts to. It's someone's opinion. And I always say everybody's entitled to their own opinion. Good or bad, that's, you know, I've heard it said and you've heard it said too. But it is one person's opinion of you. Now you have a choice. You can blow up and get mad and quit and be defeated. Or you can keep going happily along, serving for the glory of God. It's your choice. Because let's face it, we're all going to face criticism. And you know, when criticism comes our way, the hard thing for us to do is to listen to it, but that's what we need to do. We don't need to bow up. We don't need to get defensive. We need to listen to the criticism. Because you can't weigh it if you don't listen to it. And we need to weigh it. Because in this criticism, there might be some truth. And as we look at it and as we swallow our pride and really begin to analyze the criticism that we got, we may go, ooh, they're right. I need to change. I need to improve. I need to really start giving it my best because I hadn't been. So we need to listen. And you know, as we listen and we analyze it, we may come to the conclusion as we honestly look at it, there ain't no truth in that. They're just trying to bring me down. And in that case, we need to just forget it and move on. Be committed to the task at hand. Be committed despite criticism, because criticism's going to come. But we need to move on. If there's truth, apply it. If there's not truth, let it go. Don't let it become excess baggage you carry around. Drop it off and move on. The sixth principle that we find is we need to be ready to point to God's history of faithfulness. Verses 34 through 37. But David persisted. I have been taking care of my father's sheep and goats, he said. And when a lion or a bear comes to steal a lamb from the flock, I go after it with a club, and I rescue the lamb from its mouth. If the animal turns on me, I catch it by the jaw and I club it to death. I have done this with both lions and bears, and I will do it to this pagan Philistine too, for he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the claws of the lion and the bear will rescue me from this Philistine. Saul finally consented. All right, go ahead, he said. And may the Lord be with you. Ready to point to God's history of faithfulness. When criticism comes, point to God's faithfulness. When the giants come into your life, point to God's faithfulness. Because here's the deal, God has been faithful, has he not? He's been faithful. In fact, 1 Thessalonians 5:24 tells us that Paul reminds us that God who calls us is faithful. Deuteronomy 7:9 says, understand, therefore, that the Lord your God is indeed God. Now, that's an awesome statement just right there in itself. Your God is indeed God. And he is faithful. He is the faithful God who keeps his covenant for 1,000 generations and lavishes his unfailing love on those who love him and obey his commands. Psalms 46:1 says, God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. Folks, we need to be ready to share God's history of faithfulness to us. You know, I think we used to call that testimony, didn't we? We would testify as to what God was doing in our lives. You realize your testimony helps other people? When you testify about God's faithfulness, it helps other people. But you know what? We not only need to remind other people of God's faithfulness to us, we need to remind ourselves. Sometimes we need to remember. Especially when we're facing the giants in life and when troubles just seem to be crushing in upon us, we need to remind ourselves that God is faithful. I want you to think about this for just a moment. What has God done for you? Ask that question. Anything just pop into your mind? What has God done for you? You see, the thing is, as we think about it, God has done something for every one of us. He's done it. He's been faithful. So what has He done? Has He supplied a need? Has He saw you through a difficult circumstance? Has He opened a door of opportunity? Has He helped you become a giant? Was He there just in the everyday battle? What has God done? We need to remind ourselves of what God has done and is doing in our life and be ready to share what God has done and how faithful He has been to us. The next principle is we are to be comfortable with our own gifts and personality. Now, be comfortable with who you are. Then Saul gave David his own armor, a bronze helmet and a coat of mail. And David put it on and strapped the sword over it and took a step or two to see what it was like, for he had never worn such things before. "I can't go in these things," he protested to Saul. "I'm not used to them." So David took them off again. You know, back up in principle three, we saw David stripping off the excess baggage. He took off those things that was holding him back or weighing him down. But what we notice is he kept what he needed. A shepherd's staff, a sling, a bag for stones, and the ability to use them. He kept what he needed. You see, David couldn't use a sword and a spear at this point in time in his life. He hadn't been trained in them. He didn't know how to use them. He knew how to use a club, and he knew how to use a slingshot and a shepherd's staff. And so that's what he used. Oh, the day came when he became very proficient, I think, with the sword and the spear and all that other things of modern warfare. But here, no. He was comfortable with his own gifts, his own personality. I want to ask you, what has God gifted you with? See, the truth is, God has gifted you with everything you need right now at this point in your life. He's gifted you with everything you need. You know, a couple of months ago, we went through a spiritual gift study to where we sought to discover what our gifts were that God had gifted us with. Do you remember what you are gifted with? Are you using the gift? Are you using the gifts that God has given you to accomplish the tasks that He's given you to do? You see, He doesn't expect you to use gifts that He hasn't given you. And so you are who you are. You're not someone else. And you're not going to do anything like someone else. You know, I think we've all been guilty of looking at someone going, "Boy, I wished I could do that. Oh, I wished I could do that way. Oh, I wished I could preach that way. I wish I could teach that way. I wish," well, you know what? Be comfortable with who you are. Use the gifts you have. Because you're not going to do what someone else does. And you're not going to do someone else like what somebody else does, even if you have the same gift they have, because you don't have their personality. You are you, so be comfortable with who you are. Be you. Because the gifts you have, they have been given to you by the Holy Spirit, who is your comforter and your advocate and your helper. Be comfortable with who you are. But you know, I might add, be open to learn to use different gifts. David was. He went from a slingshot to a sword. You see, being comfortable where you are does not excuse you to settle where you are and not grow. Remember the faithfulness of God? He's faithful to open new doors. But be comfortable where you are today. Be prepared to grow today. And then be confident in everyday battles. You know, we look at the story of David and Goliath and we go, David was up against a giant. But when you think about everything that David has gone through, this giant was nothing more than a lion and a bear. It was just another everyday battle for him. We look at him like David was facing a giant. David was looking at it like, I'm just facing another battle today like I faced the other day when I killed the bear, when I killed the lion. So David replied to the Philistine, you come to me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of the armies of Israel whom you have defied. Today the Lord will conquer you, and I will kill you and cut off your head. And then I will give the dead bodies of your men to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. And everyone who assembled here will know that the Lord rescues his people, but not with sword and spear. This is the Lord's battle, and he will give you to us. I kind of like that. David didn't say he will give you to me. He will give you to us. See, whose name do you go in? When you face those everyday battles, whose name do you go in? Who is your help? You know, if we're not careful, we think everyday battles, I can handle this myself. It's just an everyday battle. No biggie. Whose name do you go in? If you're going in your own name, you're going to be in for trouble. If you're just relying on yourself, you're going to find your everyday battle is going to become a giant. We're to go in the name of the Lord, because he is our help. Hebrews 13, verse 6. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, so I will have no fear. What can mere people do to me? In chapter 4 and verse 16, the writer says, so let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God, and there we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. You know how we have confidence in everyday battles? When we have confidence that we can freely come into the throne room of God and ask him for help. That's when we'll have the confidence for the battle. When we realize we have this freedom and this ability to come into God's throne room. And not just come, boldly come. You know, that's going with confidence. That we know that our God will hear us and our God will help us. You see, God is our strength and our help, and we go in his name. You know, that's an important word here is go. We go. You see, we're not excused from the battle. We still have to fight. David wasn't excused from the battle. He still had to fight. You know, we're not excused to not work hard. We still have to work hard. Some people look at preaching and go, you only work 1 hour a week. You know what it takes to work this 1 hour a week? It takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of planning, a lot of preparation. Oh, we're just teaching little kids. I'm going to tell you, it should take a lot of work and preparation to teach little kids. If you're being faithful and responsible, it should take a lot of work. You should prepare and you should plan. Because you see, you're holding those little souls in your hands. We can't take it easy. We got to give it our best. We have to work hard. Being confident in God doesn't mean we get to slide off and sit back and take it easy. It means we're depending on God and we're going to do our best. We're going to work hard. We're going to fight hard. And with God's help, we will succeed. I know sometimes we wonder if we do succeed. Sometimes only eternity will tell. But the truth is, without God, there will be no success. So be confident in everyday battles. The ninth principle is be aggressive and decisive when required. Aggressive, not all the time, when required. And as Goliath moved closer to attack, David quickly ran out to meet him. You see, what we see is David didn't run from Goliath. He ran to meet him. He was aggressive. He was decisive. You can't defeat giants running away. You can't win battles running away. We have to face them with God's help. Ephesians chapter 6. You know, Paul lists for us the armor of God that we're supposed to put on. The helmet, the breastplate, the belt, the sword. Have you ever noticed as you look at all that armor, there is no protection for the backside? It's all for the front. You see, there can be no retreat. It's forward with God's help. In the grace and the strength of God, we are to move forward, depending upon our God, to take the skills that we have, that they'll be used effectively. You see, I have no doubt David was proficient with this slingshot. No doubt at all. But I still believe as he was slinging that thing around, getting ready to let that stone go, there was still a prayer upon his lips. Make it fly true. May it fly true. And God made the stone fly true. We have to be aggressive at times. The tenth principle is be determined to have daily victory over the giants in your life. Be determined to have victory. David, reaching into the shepherd's bag and taking out a stone, he hurled it with his sling, and it hit the Philistine in the forehead, and the stone sank in, and Goliath stumbled, and he fell face down on the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with only a sling and a stone, for he had no sword. Then David ran over and pulled Goliath's sword from its sheath. David used it to kill him and cut off his head. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they turned and ran. David ran to meet Goliath, determined with faith in God to defeat his giant, and he did. Isaiah 50 verse 7 says, "Because the sovereign Lord helps me, I will not be disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like a stone determined to do His will. And I know that I will not be put to shame." I have determined. Determined. In Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 9, the last part, we find a warning and a promise. It says, "Unless your faith is firm, I cannot make you stand firm." Ooh, there's a warning. If we don't have a firm faith, God can't make us stand firm. But there's also the promise. If we have a firm faith, God will help us stand firm. Are you determined, no matter what, that you're going through, that you're going to follow Christ, that you're going to depend upon the Holy Spirit, that you are going to be faithful to God and depend on the faithfulness of God? You see, that's the way to victory. The victory over giants and the victory in just everyday battles, that is the way. Because you see, the art of war is not as important as the art of faith. How you plan to fight the battle isn't as hard as having a firm faith in a faithful God. You know, we sing a song around here every once in a while that faith is the victory. And that is the victory that overcomes the faith. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. 10 principles to live by. 10 principles for victory in your life. Be faithful and responsible where you are. Be happy in the place where you're serving. Be consumed with the glory of God. Be disciplined and trim off the excess baggage. Be committed despite the criticism. Be ready to point to God's history of faithfulness. Be comfortable with your own gifts and personality, with who you are. Be confident in everyday battles. Be aggressive and decisive when necessary. Be determined. Determined to have daily victory over the giants in your life. 10 principles. That if we live this principle-centered life, we will find we can overcome the giants that come into our life. You know, these 10 principles, they really come down to faithfulness. Your faithfulness to God and God's faithfulness to you. God is always faithful. So the question falls on us. Am I faithful? How faithful are you? If you find you begin living a principle-centered life, as we find in the life of David in this story in 1 Samuel 17, I think you will discover your faithfulness and your faith will be firm. And you will experience God in every battle and as you face every giant. God is faithful. We too must be faithful. Dear God, this morning, we are so thankful for your faithfulness. In each of our lives, dear God, this morning, we can look back over our life and we can point to times when we experience the faithfulness of God. Dear God, this morning we're especially thankful for that time of faithfulness when we ask you to forgive us of our sins and to come into our heart, and you were faithful and you did what you said you were going to do, and you forgave our sins and you came to reside within us. Dear God, even since that day, you have proved yourself to be faithful over and over again. Dear God, as we look at these 10 principles, dear God, may our life become a principle-centered life. To where, dear God, when the battles come and the giants arise, we are able to meet them through the grace and the help of our God. And dear God, we know people today who are facing giants, who are fighting battles. Some, dear God, are fighting health issue battles and giants. Dear God, we lift Karen to you today. As she is in the hospital with pneumonia, we just pray, dear God, that your healing grace would be upon her today. That you would touch her. That you, dear God, would be with James and strengthen him there in these days. Dear God, we thank you for the way your faithfulness to Etta and how you have touched her life. Just another demonstration, dear God, of how you're faithful. We thank you today. Dear God, there are so many around our world today who are struggling with health issues, with a pandemic, dear God, that is still going on. And dear God, we call upon our faithful God to reach down into lives and to touch and to heal and to restore health. And dear God, there are other giants that people face. There are financial giants. There are giants in relationships that seem impossible to mend. Dear God, may our faith be continually in you. And may we, dear God, realize that we have this privilege of coming before your throne with our requests and with our needs and calling upon you, dear God, to reach down into our lives and into the lives of others. Dear God, may we have a firm faith that we can experience, dear God, you're moving and you're working, helping us and strengthening us in this journey we call life. We pray, dear God, that you would continue to reach down to touch and to bless. Go with us, dear God, as we journey through this coming week. May we experience your blessings and thereby be a blessing to someone else. We pray and ask these things in your holy name. Amen.